الحمد لله أستعينه وأستغفره وأعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والعصر، إن الإنسان لفي خسر، إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. صدق الله العظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. صدق الله العظيم. Beloved friends and elders, before we begin, it is imperative upon us to express our gratitude unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having favored us with the wealth of Iman. Secondly, we express our gratitude unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having made us from amongst the followers of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thirdly, we express our gratitude unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having made us from amongst those who were granted the ability to witness the day of Jumu'ah. Respected friends and elders, we may have read or even observed in the past week in some forms of media reports that a very interesting report was submitted to the National Economic Development and Labour Council. The report that was submitted was relevant to or pertained to the aspect of the amount of risk we as South African consumers are exposing ourselves in terms of our consumption of water. And the report is said to have highlighted the need to emphasize on preservation of this specific resource. Now, beloved brothers, friends and elders, it is extremely important for us to outline at the very beginning that for you and I as believers, our preservation of this very important resource is not merely preservation of a resource so that we can continue our existence in this world. Our preservation of resource, our approach to the preservation of this resource is more an ibadah than preserving just a resource. It is an act of reward, and it is in light of this, beloved brothers, that I'd like to say, we generally perceive forms of ibadah to be restricted to that of the masjid or to that of charity, and hence we'll find that when a person is deceased from this world, you'll find it very commonplace for us to hear that this person is deceased, marhum had such a good habit, he used to always perform tahajjud salah, or he would always give charity in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rightly so, all those are acts of virtue and worthy of reward in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But friends and elders, our perception of ibadah, how often have you heard that a person is deceased from this world, but one distinct habit in his life was he had a habit of not wasting water? How often have you heard that is a trait and a quality of a believer? So beloved brothers, this is extremely important for us to remain cognizant of, that this is an act of ibadah. When you are preserving water, you're not preserving water because it's a resource and you need to continue your existence in this world. You're preserving the resource because it is an injunction of this deen. It is an act of reward in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Proceeding further, beloved brothers, it is mentioned that in the Quran Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in some way or the other addresses the issue of this specific resource of water in 61 verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in some way or the other is dedicating 61 verses of the Quran Kareem to talk about water. And in fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one place says, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَيٍّ. Everything around you, in some way or the other, that thing has come to fruition purely because of water. The existence of water has caused that specific thing to come to reach fruition. And therefore, beloved brothers, it is mentioned that according to statistics, this shortage of water is not only a specific or confined to the South Africans. This is a worldwide phenomenon that they are observing, that the depletion in the water resources. In fact, it is mentioned that according to statistics, it's revealed that roughly 2 billion people of the population, 2 billion of the population are living in water-stressed catchments. And this figure is likely to increase by the year 2020. It's not far, it's a decade from now. By 2020, this figure is likely to increase to 4 billion. 4 billion of the population living in water-stressed catchments. So, beloved brothers, this is extremely important to observe that, in fact, development economists, they predict that this shortage of this specific resource is likely to hamper growth in the fastest growing economies. Economies like China and India are likely to be, their economies are likely to be hampered by the shortage of this specific resource. They further mention that wars will be waged in time to come regarding this specific resource. Analysts also say that this is so important, the specific area of investment is so important, that if a person were to invest in any form of water, whether it's the preservation of water infrastructure or the purification of water, that investment of yours is likely to yield a return of 12% per annum. An ordinary analyst would be able to tell you that a return of 12% on your money is a worthy investment. Now, beloved brothers, for us, let us just reiterate the point that it's not just merely a matter of investing and getting a big return. For us as believers, our investments are ethically correct if our investments are such that when we invest, they are improving other societies. They are improving the lifestyles of other people. Only in that case is our investment a worthy investment. Now, be this as it may, regarding statistics, we know the statistics are alarming. We understand all of it in the media. It's from time and time again we hear about it. But friends and elders, be this as it may, let us take a look at Islam's approach to the preservation of resources in general. Leave aside water, we'll come to that, but in general, what does Islam say about the preservation of resources? In connection with this, there's a verse of the Quran al-Kareem wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something to this effect, لَا تُؤْتُوا السُّفَهَاءَ أَمْوَالَكُمُ الَّتِي جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ قِيَامًا. That the wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed you with, it is indeed a bounty and a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can have it in abundance. There's no harm if you have it in abundance. However, if you have love for it, that is problematic. So in any case, if a person has been blessed with wealth, this verse is an injunction from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that do not place that wealth which is a bounty and a blessing in the wrong hands. In the hands of the person who is incompetent. He doesn't know how to dispose of that wealth. Don't give it to a child who is immature. He doesn't know how to dispose of that wealth. He's going to squander that wealth. It's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a resource to be valued. Therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says and gives an injunction, this decree, that do not give it in the hands of the person who is incompetent. A person who cannot manage his own affairs, do not hand it to that person. Further on, we find the famous incident of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is mentioned that when he would partake of meals, after partaking of meals, he inculcated this habit, he encouraged his ummah to inculcate this habit in their lives, that lick your fingers. Why did he say lick your fingers? Ulama commentated, this is an indication that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is trying to impress on your mind that food is a resource from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You need to value it to this extent, what we see as trivial, that amount on your fingers which we see as, so to say, trivial, that is regarded as valuable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the eyes of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And hence he has encouraged you to lick your fingers. Similarly, you find he encourages ummah that after you've partaken of meals, lick the plate. Lick that utensil from which you were eating. That little bit that we see as trivial, that is a valuable resource in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the opinion of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So being a valuable resource, it needs to be valued, and hence it becomes a sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an act of reward. In our jurisprudence of Islam, friends and elders, we find that there's this whole faculty of Kitabul Hajr. Kitabul Hajr is a section in our jurisprudence which we can call, for lack of a better interpretation, the section pertaining to curatorship. Now, I'm not saying that Kitabul Hajr in our Islamic jurisprudence is the exact same thing as curatorship in the Roman Dutch law. I'm not saying that. If we were to say that, then we're falling in the trap of the Orientalists. There's an entire theory called the transmutation theory where they try to give you the impression, they give English equivalents to all the Arabic terminologies. Kitabul Hajr is called curatorship. Kitabul Rahan is called securities. And they try to give this English equivalence to impress on your mind that Islamic law is actually derived from Roman Dutch law, whereas that is not the case. So beloved brothers, I'm not saying that Kitabul Hajr, this section of our jurisprudence, is curatorship. All I'm saying is that it's, for lack of a better interpretation, we're referring to it as curatorship when a person is unable to deal with his own affairs. He's unable to deal with his own affairs, hence another person is appointed to represent him or her. So that person is maybe an infant, or the person may be insane, so a curator is appointed to see to that person's affairs. Now the mere fact that the Sharia contains, the jurisprudence contains this whole faculty of Kitabul Hajr, curatorship,
is an indication that the Sharia wants you to preserve resources. It doesn't want you to waste it. Whatever resources you have in your possession, it needs to be protected, it needs to be looked after. Looking at the specific resource of water, why do we need to preserve this resource of water? We find in one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, the hadith is in Tabrani, that when a specific community refrains from discharging its zakah, this obligation of zakah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inflicts them with drought. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove this resource of water purely because you're not discharging your zakah. So the hadith impresses on our minds, friends and elders, that sometimes we may be perpetrating a specific deed. But the effect of that deed is not specific in that environment. It has an effect elsewhere. So a person may not be performing his salah. He's not only performing his neglecting his salah, which is accountable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It may be affecting his relationship at home. So one aspect of deen, one aspect of neglect may affect another aspect of our deen. So beloved brothers, this hadith is impressing on our minds that if we refrain from discharging zakah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deprive us of this water, this resource of water. In another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have told his sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in that when you perform wudu, do not waste water. They said, O Nabi of Allah, even if we had the riverbank, he said, yes, my sahaba, even if you had the riverbank, it does not allow you, you do not have the license to waste water. Even if you had that riverbank, you use water in a correct manner and you do not allow it to go to waste. Further on, we find that the deen of Islam is unique to every other aspect of any other religion in this world, in the sense that we have a separate institution of Salatul Istisqa, an individual, an allocated ibadah purely for this specific resource of water. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instituted Salatul Istisqa. When water is short, you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a specific way. You leave your town and you take the women folk and you maybe take the children and you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you with this resource. So it is the only religion in all worldly religions that has a specific institution and one specific ibadah allocated for this specific resource whenever it is short. Further on, we find that as Muslims, we are encouraged to preserve the specific resource because it is a means of carrying out good deeds. And many a time, the nature of that good deed you blessed with the tawfiq to carry out is such that it can become the means of your forgiveness in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So by carrying out a good deed related or merely associated with water, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive that good deed. You find in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is reported to have said or referred to a specific lady who did not have very good habits. She did not have very good habits, but on one occasion when she saw the thirsty dog, she said, let me feed it water. She took out a shoe, she filled it with water and she gave it to that animal. And based on that one action, which you and I would regard as trivial, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted her forgiveness and she was granted entry into Jannah. Further on, another reason why we are encouraged to preserve the specific resource of water, beloved brothers, is that by preserving it, many a time you find in the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, preserving this resource would constitute us referring to water as a means of remedy. Many a time you find water is the cure for it's a remedy for many ailments. And in connection with a specific spiritual ailment, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that if a person gets angry, then he should sit down. If he can't sit down, what should he do? Make use of the resource of water, make wudu. And if you can't do that, then take a sip of water. So merely preserving the resource of water inculcates us, or rather leads to us preserving this resource so that it can become a means of a remedy for our spiritual as well as our physical ailments that are existent and prevalent in our lives. And lastly, another reason why we preserve this water, this resource of water, is that our entire institution of ibadah is based on it. Without water, how could a person perform salah? So our entire system of worship in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pivoted on this preservation of this resource of water. So beloved brothers, these are the reasons why we should inculcate a habit and correct our mindset when it comes to preserving this specific resource. We should move away from understanding that water comes from a tap. Water comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by means of healthy ecosystems. And for all of us, we need to preserve those ecosystems in order for water to reach us. So beloved brothers, this is the responsibility of all of us, one and all. The responsibility rests on each one's shoulder to ensure that he inculcates or institutes measures to preserve this resource. Instead of scolding one's children because the utility bill is going to go high, a person should rather be scolding because it is an act of worship you're violating. By not saving water at home, you're violating an act of worship. It's a right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you should not be scolding others for wasting water because you need to preserve water for your existence in this world, or because you need to avoid that utility bill rising. You scold someone because it is an act of worship that the person is violating. Like how you would encourage a person to perform his salah or maybe reprimand him, in the same way the person maybe needs to be encouraged or reprimanded when he's wasting water. And lastly, with regard to this mindset of ours, beloved brothers, we need to shift away from understanding that preserving the water, more specifically in our scenario of the masjid, is the responsibility of the muezzin. It is not the responsibility of the muezzin. Like I said earlier on, it is the responsibility of every individual in the society, in the community, to inculcate this habit of preserving this specific resource. And in terms of moving forward, beloved brothers, all of us need to institute minor or major changes when it comes to preserving the specific resource. Whether it be in our individual lifestyles at home, we need to inculcate habits or institute measures to preserve this resource. Many a time you find that this practice of going and cleansing ourselves by using a shower is commonplace. It's become accepted practice to do it. And we're not saying it's right or wrong. Let's leave alone that aspect of things. But this is an acknowledged fact, that by resorting to this specific measure of purifying ourselves, so much of water is wasted. So institute measures of adopting the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, use a bucket and cylinder. In fact, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala used to say that, I feel it haya, it's part of my haya to sit down. It's against my haya to stand up and reveal my private parts. Even though I may be in a place of privacy, but it does not behove of me to display my private parts. So he would resort to sitting down and purifying himself. So beloved brothers, this is something we should inculcate in our lives, in our individual capacity at home. Imagine if a person were to go to work on Monday morning and say that this is the message we got from our masjid, that we should purify, we should institute measures to protect this specific resource. Imagine the positive image it sends out to your employer, that this is the kind of messages you're receiving from your sermon on Fridays. By all means, I'll send you now more often. More, instead of sending you out with reluctance, now he knows that you're receiving positive messages, so he'll send you more willingly for this specific Friday prayers. And further on, lastly, we'll terminate on this note, that when we're instituting measures, beloved brothers, one of the most easiest things to institute in our lives is the habit of praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we are granted with the ability to benefit from this resource. When we take a sip of water, practice on the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Take it in three sips. Avoid breathing in the utensil. And when taking the three sips, on the first sip, on each of the sips, you say Alhamdulillah. You praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because you now have realized that this resource is important and needs to be valued. And when you terminate your three sips, you say Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest. So with these few words, friends and elders, we terminate making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grant us all the true realization and the true ability to understand why we need to value this specific resource. Like I say, we'll terminate on this note, that we're not preserving this resource so that we can continue our existence in this world. We're preserving this resource because it is an act of worship. It is an act deserving of reward in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.